Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday with the discussion as to how is it possible that when you put the komets back into the original kli, that doesn't create a problem for you, because that's the equivalent of kiddush b'kli. And we noted already that if you have a komets that's taken off by a pasul, and then you put it into a kli sharet, you mekadesh it, that actually causes an irreversible problem, even according to Ben Beteira. So the question then became, if that's true, when you return it to the original mincha, aren't you also placing it into a kli sharet? So Amar Rav Yochanan, this is what we left off with yesterday, zot omeret kli sharet in mekadshin el midat. From here you see that a kli sharet is only successful at being mekadesh when one intends for that to happen. Over here, when you're returning it to the original kli sharet in which the mincha is kept, you're not intending to be mekadesh the komets, you're intending to actually reverse the action that was taken before. And so there it fails to be mekadesh it, not because it's not a kli sharet, but because you have no intent for it to become kadosh in the kli sharet that you are placing it to at that point in time. As Tosafot points out over here, that's not a steadfast rule, because we find in other places that kli sharet are mekadesh shelo midat, including a shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Baal Tosafot suggests that it depends on the situation. In a situation in which the kli sharet is mekadesh midat, then it also is mekadesh other items shelo midat. Because once you've already engaged the kli sharet to do something midat, it will then do other things shelo midat. Over here it's different, because the kli sharet is only functioning shelo midat, and therefore it doesn't have the capacity to be mekadesh it when you don't intend for it to be mekadesh. Now the Gemara says about that, hamadat mekadeshim. The implications of Rabbi Yochanan's statement are, if you intend for it to work, then it will work. V'ha boi minei Reish Lakish mi Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Reish Lakish inquire of Rabbi Yochanan, kli sharet, maushi kadshu psulim lechatchila likarev? If you put an item into a kli sharet, does it have the capacity to be mekadesh, something that is pasul, so that now we can go on the mizbeach lechatchila? Generally, when we have something that's pasul, if it ends up on the mizbeach b'diavad, we say malu lo yerdu. Once it's up on the mizbeach, we don't take it off the mizbeach. But we don't say is to put it on lechatchila onto the mizbeach. So Reish Lakish's question is, once something has been placed in a kli sharet, does the kli sharet have the capacity to be mekadesh to the point that lechatchila we'd want you to put it on the mizbeach, not vidyabad? Does the kli sharet now function as an extension, in a sense, of the mizbeach, that it is able to be mekadesh the item to the point where we would say to you to put it on the mizbeach? So the answer to that question is, armalei ein mekadshin. It is not successful being mekadesh. So now that's the question. You just told me that if you intend for it to be mekadesh, it works. Now Rabbi Yochanan is telling Reish Lakish that if you put something pasul into a kli sharet, it's not mekadesh it. It's not successful at being mekadesh it. The Gemara then answers, Amalei, ein mekadshin li karev, al mekadshim li pasel. That they are not mekadesh it in order to put it on a mizbeach, but it is mekadesh it to make it pasul. Meaning that completes the process from what we said before, that if a pasul does the kmitza, and that is mekadesh it, it renders it irreversible. So it has the capacity to be mekadesh it, to be pasel, although it's not mekadesh it, to be mikarev. So it will ruin it and make it impossible for you to return it to the original mincha, but it's not successful at elevating it or being mikadesh it so that it can go on the mizbeach. That's the way this Gemara reads. The Baal Tosafot deal over here with the fact that the Gemara in Zvachim seems to indicate otherwise and reads differently, especially according to Rashi's Shita. Rashi over there in the Gemara in Zvachim believes that the answer that Rabbi Yochanan gave to Reish Lakish was the mekadshin lechatchila likarev, that you actually allowed to put it on the mizbeach once it goes into a kli sharet, based on the way that the Gemara reads in Zvachim. So you have to come up with a way to reconcile between this Gemara and the Gemara in Zvachim. Either have to say that it's what's called the sugyot mitchalfot, which we have throughout Shas, which are there certain sugyot that end up coming out exactly the opposite of a sugyot somewhere else in Shas, either by changing around the individuals who are speaking, or changing around the conclusion that's found inside of the Gemara. So that could be what the situation is over here, that they're actually contradictory because they are sugyot mitchalfot. Or otherwise you have to reconcile, and the Baal Tosafot bring over here from Rav Peter that this Gemara is a disproof to Rashi's interpretation there, that Rabbi Yochanan really believes lechatchila that the putting it into a kli sharet allows you to put on mizbeach, because our Gemara here clearly reads just the opposite, and you cannot put it on. And therefore, they reread the Gemara in Zvachim and say, "V'nira kaperish Rabbeinu Tam," that they favor the Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation of the Gemara in Zvachim, which is then successful at reconciling it with our Gemara over here. So there is your answer, which is, yes, midad, it is mikadesh. It just can only be mikadesh to a certain point. It's mikadesh to the point that it makes it pasur, it opens it up to psulim, but it's not mikadesh to the point that it goes on to the mizbeach. That'll be the solution to the problem, which is Rabbi Yochanan says, when you put back the komets into the original kli of the mincha, it was done shalom midat, without the intent of it becoming kadosh, and that's why it's not pusel, the komets, and then a kohen can go redo it according to Ben Bitera. Rav Amram Amar, so now Rav Amram offers an alternative over here. He says, even if you say, shalom midat mikadshim, kli sheret are successfully mikadesh, even when there's no intent for that. But the situation here is, kagon sheyachziru the bisa. The bisa is the kli that is used to put the mincha in to be bolel, to mix it, the flour, the oil, and all the items have to put together for the mincha. That's done inside of the bisa, and it's a kli sheret that is found in the mikdash to be mikadesh the mincha. So he says, you put it back into a bisa gedusha that was piled on top. Gadush means it's stacked above the level of the kli sheret. Now, kli sheret is only mikadesh, that which is inside, internal to the kli sheret, not that which is stacked on top. So now, when he puts it back into the mincha, it ends up now being outside of the walls, or the internal parts of the kli, because it's sitting on top of a pile that's on top there. So for that reason, when you return it, it's not mikadesh. So Gemara says, that's an interesting answer, of al mikameitz, heichi komatz. Remember that this is the original mincha. The original mincha where he took the komets off of. If it was gedusha, and he took the komets off the top, he was taking it from an area that wasn't inside of the kli sheret. So then how does he have a komets that he wants to return now that's going to be on top of this pile? Ela, kagon sheyachziru the bisa tfufa. He's returning it back to a bisa that is filled exactly to the top. Then when he puts it back, it's not going into the kli. The Gemara says, wait a minute, the cave and the komets lay of a leguma. When he takes out the komets from a kli that's filled exactly to the top, he leaves a hole or depression there where he took the komets out of. When he puts it back in, it goes back into that depression or that hole that he made originally, and that's internal to the kli, and the kli will be mikadeshit. The Gemara says, mikimahadale manach le adafno de mono. When he puts it back, he does not put it back into that area where he took it out of. He doesn't put it back in the area that was displaced when he pulled out the komets originally, but rather he puts it on the side, umaridle, and then he shakes the kli, v'nafal memela, and then it rolls into that area that is the guma, or the empty space that was caused when he took off the komets. The nasik mishech zero akuf is the equivalent of as if a monkey went ahead and put it back in. So what you have here is another requirement in terms of being mikadesh in a kli sheret, which is that you need an etina of adam. You need to have something where the placement is done by koach adam, and not simply that it's done by some sort of mamela, a derivative action. And so, yes, the kli sheret is mikadesh shelo midat. That means the kli sheret is successful at creating kedusha, even without the intent of the individual. So you would have thought, well, if you don't need intent in an individual, then it doesn't matter how it gets in there. So that's what the Gemara comes and differentiates and says, it matters how it gets in there. Once it's in there, it's mikadesh, whether you wanted it to be mikadesh or not. And so that's how Rav Amram solves the problem, by saying, you placed it back into the kli, on the side of the kli, and then when you shook the kli, it rolled into the area that was inside of the kli sheret. That is a failure in the Tinat Adam, and because of that, it will not be Mekadesh, even Shalom Midat. That's why over here, when you machzir the komets back to the Mincha, it's not automatically Mekadesh and making it Pasul in an irreversible way, because it's not Mekadesh because it didn't end up going into the Kli Sheret, Ela Memela, or in a way, Sheikhziru HaKof, as if the Kof put it back and not an Adam that put it back. Amar Le Rabbi Yirmi, Ela Rabbi Zera, Velukma. Why don't they set up the case here, kagon sheyachziru the kli hamunach al gabei hakarka? It was a kli sheret that was sitting on the ground, and he returned it to the kli sheret on the ground. Now his conclusion is, elish mamina, kumsi mikli shel gabei hakarka. From this you could see that the kli being on the karka is not a failure, and if your komets from a kli on the karka, it would be fine. Underlying this question is an assumption that there's something wrong with the kli sheret being on the ground. The implications are that there might be some deficit if the kli sheret was found on the ground. And that could be for one of two reasons. It could be a deficit in the kli sheret, or it could be a deficit in the avoda. Meaning, do we require lamod v'lesharet, that the kohen has to do the sherut, standing and holding the item in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everyone that's on the karka, it's not considered to be that he's doing sheirut in the way that a kohen does a voda. And so the failure is in the kohen's engagement with this item, because he's not engaging with it. Or is it that the kli sharet by itself, the sheirut of the kli sharet, has to be in a manner by which it is elevated, where it's being utilized by someone, not when it's simply sitting on the ground, because then it's not functioning as a kli sharet. It's only a kli sharet when it's detached or picked up that it becomes a kli sharet. So you could see it being a failure either in the kohen's avoda or a failure in the kli sharet. But he concludes from the fact that nobody suggested over here that that be the solution to the problem, that a kli sharet that's on the ground is not a problem or a deficit. So Rabbi Zera says back to him, "Kanagad bebaya di bayilon." You're actually touching upon a question that came up amongst us or in the discussion of the Beit Midrash. Because Avyime Tani Menachot Be'Rav Chisda, Avyime was learning Seder Menachot, Masechet Menachot, in the Beit Midrash of Rav Chisda. Vavyime Be'Rav Chisda Tani? So Gemara takes a digression now and just questions the whole scenario. How could it be that Avyime was learning in the Beit Midrash of Rav Chisda? Vama Rav Chisda? Didn't Rav Chisda say, Kufei Tave Bale Me Avyime? I swallowed or I took down. Now here, Kufei Tave can either mean many hits or blows, or Kufei could also mean klalot. He took a curses or negativity that was swung towards me. He says, I took, quote unquote, a lot of abuse from Avyime, Allah the Hashmaitata, because of this memra, which is Balachriz Ritzufim Lamidyom. If he comes to auction off the item, and he wants to announce the auction or estate sale, if you do it on a consecutive basis, you do it for 30 days. Sheni v'chamishi, if you do it every Monday and Thursday, samach yomei, you do it for 60 days. That's the answer to the question. The question is that we have in Masechet Arachin with regards to yitomim, those that are orphaned, where the Beit Din is intervening in order to liquidate some of the estate assets, what is the process by which they need to auction off the assets? So the Mishnah seems to indicate that you have to announce it for 30 days straight, and then there's another source that says they have to do it for 60 days. And so Rav Chisda raised that problem, or that stira in the Tanaic works, one saying 30 days, one saying 60 days. The answer that Avyime gave to Rav Chisda is the answer that we just read. If you do it on a consecutive basis, then you only have to do it for 30 days. If you do it every Monday and Thursday, then you do it for 60 days. Even though it doesn't turn out to be the same number of days, because if you do it over 60 days, Monday and Thursday, you only end up with about 18 days that you're announcing versus the 30 days. But nevertheless, since it's done on the days where there are more people and it's a marketplace and over a longer duration, that suffices. So he says, I took a lot of abuse from Avyime because he was upset about my question because there was an answer, there was a way to reconcile it. But that means that Rav Chisda was the Talmid of Avyime and not the other way around. So why are you telling me that Avyime is learning Menachot by Rav Chisda? So Gemara says, Avyime Masechta Itakro Itakarle, he forgot the Masechta. Rashi says over here, it was Masechta Menachot that he forgot. V'atakamed Rav Chisda Ladkure Gamre. He went back to Rav Chisda to go remind him and to relearn the Masechet. So Gemara says, "V'lishlach le, v'le to the Gabe." If Avyime is the Rebbe, why is he going to Rav Chisda? He should just call Rav Chisda into his Beit Midrash, into his offices, and have Rav Chisda reteach him information that he had taught to Rav Chisda originally. Savar halche mistaye milta tvei. He thought that it would be better off if he went. Rashi says, "Mitzad yagati umatzati," that if he extended himself and made the effort to go and learn the Masechta, that he would have a better opportunity, as well as siyata dishmaya, in recalling and relearning the Masechta. You could say, I think in addition to what Rashi is saying, is that it was a tzad of a nivut. The fact that he was willing to subordinate himself to his Talmud to learn, that would give him the schut, or the siyata de milta, that he would actually be successful. Pagabe Rav Nachman. So, whether this is on the way to the Beit Midrash of Rav Chisda, or out of the Beit Midrash of Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman bumps into Avyime. Amalei, Ketzad Komtzin. How do you do a kmitza? So Rav Nachman is querying of Avyime to show him how to do a kmitza. Amalei, Mikli Zeh. So Avyime answers him from this kli. It's a little strange because Rav Nachman's asking him how to do kmitza, and Avyime is answering him, you could do it from this kli. The Kli Zeh seems to be an insignificant item and not part of the question that Rav Nachman asked. Nachman's asking, how do you do a kometz? And Avyime is saying, from this kli? Why does it matter which kli you do it from? A kometz has nothing to do with the kli. Kometz is a way that you put the hand into the mincha, and you take off a portion of the mincha. it's not about which kli it isn't. So if you look in the Bali HaTosafot, he says that this becomes significant based on the answer that he gives, that this kli either was a kli eitz, it was made out of wood, or this was a kli chol. One of those two things then makes what he says afterwards a bigger chiddush, and that's why mikli zeh is significant. Amalei, so Rabbi Nachman says back to him, v'chi komsim shmikli al gavi akarka, since when can you do kmitzah from a kli, from a utensil that's on the ground? Amalei, Avime responds to Rabbi Nachman's question about the capacity of a kli sharei to be mekadesh baretz. You're right, it can't be mekadesh baretz. Ella, demagbalei kohen, it's a case where the kohen lifted it up, or elevated it. And so then, going back to what Tosafot said here, that the significance of kli zeh is the fact that either the kohen's being magbia the kli sharet, when you utilize it for the first time, avodato mechanchato, that the first time you utilize it turns it into a kli sharet. That's why he's answering him, this kli, which is kli chol, you can utilize for the kmitzah. Or that it was a kli eitz, it was a wooden utensil, and according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to use kli eitz for kli sharet. So that was the additional chidush that was added about kli zeh, not just about the kmitzah itself. So then he said to him, Ketzad Mikachin. So here, there's a machloket in the girsa. According to Rashi's girsa, it's Ketzad Mikachin et ha-kometz. You can see that in the Ot Aleph of the Tzon Kodoshim. Other girsa, which the Greinu Gershom seems to have, which is Ketzad Mikachin et ha-mincha. You can see that in the Shita Mikubetzet, Ot Tetvav and Tetzayin. So the question, according to Rashi, is, how do you take the kometz from the mincha and be put into a new kli and be mekadesh it in the new kli? Whereas for the Rabbeinu Gershom, the question is, when you bring it to the mikdash, how do you mekadesh this mincha by placing it into a kli sharet? So Amar Lei, no, now the kli is it. You can put it into this kli. So again, he says to him, v'chi mekadeshim b'kli shel gabi akarka. So Rabbi Nachman says again to him, can you be mekadesh with a kli on the karka? Amar Lei, the maglalei kohen, that the kohen elevates it. So now, Amar Lei, Im kein strachta gimel kohanim. So Rav Nachman says, Rav Yimi, now you need then three kohanim to do the avoda. The assumption being here that a kohen can only do avoda with his right hand, not with his left hand. So according to Rashi's view here, that we're talking about the kiddush hakometz, then you have the kohen who's holding the kli sharet in which the mincha is in. He has to hold it in his right hand. You have another kohen who comes and takes the kometz out of there. He does the kmitzah with his right hand. And then you have a third kohen holding the kli sharet into which the kohen is going to place the kometz. So each one of them is working with their right hand, one of them holding the original kli sharet, one of them doing the kmitzah, and one of them holding the kli sharet into which the kohen who's doing the kmitzah will place the kometz to be mekadesh. That's Rashi's view. The Rabbeinu Gershom, on the other hand, says that it has to do with the kiddush mincha originally. So there's one kohen who's holding the mincha, there's one kohen who is holding the kli sharet into which the mincha is going to be placed, then there's one who's going to do the kmitzah. So you have here a kohen holding the kli sharet, another kohen placing the mincha in, and then a third kohen taking the kmitzah out of that kli, and those are the three according to the Rabbeinu Gershom. According to Rashi's view, the Shita Mikubetzet in Ot Tetzayin quotes from the Tosafot Chitzoniot that you really don't need three, because the person who held the original kli sharet can then leave that kli sharet and go and pick up the kli sharet of the Netina Kometz. So he could hold the mincha, and then the kohen does a kmitzah, then he leaves that kli and goes and holds the other kli into which you put the kmitzah, and he says, v'lo dak. Doesn't have to be exact, but you don't necessarily need three kohenim, but you definitely need more than one kohen to do this, according to the way that Rav Yimei is describing over here, that it's not good enough to have it on the karka, you actually have to be magbia it. So Rav Yimei says back to him, just like the Korban Tamid requires 13 kohanim, that's the Mishnah in Masechet Tamid, that tells us that there were 13 kohanim involved in the process of the Tamid, so why can't it be that you need three kohanim for the kmitzat amincha, or for the kiddush amincha, just like you need multiple kohanim to process the korbana tamid? Eitve, the Gemara now challenges this view. Zeklau, this is a principle, it's a Mishnah upcoming on Daf Yud Bet. Kol hakometz v'notein b'kli, hamolich v'amaktir lechol davar shekderko lechol. These are the terminologies that are familiar to us from Zvachim, and now here they're being applied to the mincha, with regards to machshava of pigol or machshava of chutz limkomo, about which avudot this is true. So there it tells you that it has to be kmitzah, which is the equivalent of shchita, netina b'kli, which is the equivalent of kabbalat adam, hamolich, which is equal to la olacha, and a matir of the komets, which is equivalent to the zrikat adam. So those are the avodot in which makshava is posel. V'ilo makbia loktani. If you're telling me that you need three kohanim over here, that means that each one of these kohanim is active in the processing of the mincha, and their makshava should be mifagel if they have a negative makshava. So the Gemara answers, Tana seder avodot nakit. So now, the way that Rashi seems to read this is, Tana seder avodot velo seder kohanim. It's telling you about the avodot, not the number of kohanim that are needed. Again, the Shita Mikubetza takes out velo seder kohanim, because according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, it has nothing to do with Seder Kohanim, it has to do with Seder Avodot. Meaning that, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, the only thing that's significant is Avoda that you're doing with the Mincha. This is all prerequisite to the Mincha. Being Mikadesh the Mincha is something that is a prerequisite to the Avodot, but not Avodot themselves. The only thing that's considered Avoda is the Kamitza itself. And that's one of those three Kohanim. According to Rashi, where you're already involved in the process of Kamitza, and we're talking about the Kohanim that are involved in there, what it's saying is that Seder Avodot Nakit. It's only focused on what one Kohen can accomplish, or on the primary things that are being done here. The actions that are being taken, which is Kamitza. Now, how many Kohanim the Kamitza needs, that's a separate story. But what's talking about is Kamitza. So you could come to two conclusions based on that in Rashi. Either it's true that the other two Kohanim can have a Machshava and be Poselet, because they are part of that Avoda of the Kamitza, and all it's doing is mention Kamitza, that which can be done by a single Kohen. It's not telling you the number of Kohanim involved in that process of Kamitza. Or you could read it similar to the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it, which is, even though yes, they are integral to the Kamitza, in the end it's only the Kamitza that's considered to be the Avoda. The other Kohanim are considered to be assistants or aiding or abetting the process of Kiddush HaKometz. Vaminei mirav sheshet, maulik motz miklish al gabi akarka. So this question, the same question we just seemingly addressed, was asked of Rav Sheshet. Can you take a kamitza off a kli sharet that's on the ground? Amalei pokazi ma'avdin legav. He says, go take a look and see what they do inside the heichal. Inside the heichal is a reference to the shulchan and the lechem apanim. And that is based on what we saw in the introduction to the Masechta, that the Lechem HaPanim are a form of Mincha, and they are placed on the Shulchan, along with the Bazichim. The Bazichim have Livona in them. The Livona is the equivalent of what's going to go on the Mizbeach from the Mincha, and the Lechem HaPanim are the Shirayim of the Mincha that are going to be eaten by the Kohanim. So how is that processed inside of the Eichal? Arba Kohanim Nichnasim. Four Kohanim come in. Shnaim Biyadam Betzdarim. Two of them have the six loaves of the Lechem HaPanim that are stacked on two structures. Each one of them takes one of the Marachot in. Ushnaim Biyadam Shnei Bazichim. And two of them have the frankincense that's going to be placed on the Shulchan that will be Matir, the Lechem HaPanim, later on. Va'arba'a mikadmin lifnehem. And four Kohanim went in before them. Shnaim lito shnei sdarim. Two of them to go in to remove the lechem apanim. Each one of them, the marechet of lechem apanim. The two stacks of lechem apanim. Ubet lito bet bazichim. And two of them to take out the two bazichim that are on the shulchan. Ve'ilo magbiat the shulchan loktani. Wait a minute. Nobody there says that you have to raise the shulchan in order to take the bazichim off. The assumption being over here, that the bazichim, taking the bazichim off the shulchan, is the equivalent of taking the komets out of the mincha. So just like by taking off the komets of the mincha, that's the significant avoda. So to over here, by the shulchan, the significant avoda for the lechem panim is the removal of the bazichim from the shulchan, which is the equivalent of taking the kamitza off. So if at that moment in time you can't do it on the karka, they should have had a requirement to elevate the shulchan, because the shulchan is a kli sharet. And if a kli sharet doesn't work or function when it's on the karka, then you should have that coin in there to raise the shulchan. That's not mentioned in the sidur of the lechem apanim. So Gemara says, lava mart hatam, seder avodot nakat. Didn't you just answer in the previous question that was asked that we were talking about the seder avodot, not about the number of koanim? Achanami, seder avodot nakat. Over here also, it's just telling you the number of avodot that are involved. It's not telling you the number of koanim that are involved. Gemara says, me dummy. What do you mean? That's not true. Haltam lo nochid the minyon of the koanim. In the previous case, it never mentioned the number of Kohanim at all. All it mentioned was the Avodot. Hachanachid the minyan of the Kohanim. In this Mishnah, it did speak about the number of Kohanim. Once you've already enumerated the Kohanim, you should have to enumerate all Kohanim that are involved. So Mi'ita, and if it was necessary to raise the Shulchan, Litnei Magbia, there should have been somebody there that lifts up the Shulchan. Elish Mamina, From this you can conclude, Komsimi klisharet shokabi akarka shmamina, that you can't do kmitza from something that is on the ground, shmamina. So you have this from this conclusion from the question that was posed to Rav Sheshet, and you also had it from before. That was the supposition that Rabbi Yirmiyah made to Rabbi Zera from our Gemara, the fact that nobody answered this, Shmamina kumsimi kli shal gabi akarka, so that you can't take off a kmitza shal kli al gabi akarka, and that disagrees with Avime, who said that you did have to raise the kli in order to take off the komets, or to be mikadish the komets and the kli, depending on which girsa you had in the Gemara. Amarova, pshitali, komets mikli shal gabi akarka, you can't take off the kmitza from a kli shared on the ground, shkei matzino besiluk bazichim, because that's what we find with the removal of the bazichim from the shulchan. Mikadshin mincha bekli shal gabi akarka, you can also be mikadesh a mincha into a kli shared that's on the ground, shkei matzino besidu bazichim, because that when they place the bazichim onto the shulchan, they place it onto the shulchan that's on the ground and not elevated. So this will be the two tzadim, by the way, this is Rashi and the Rabbeinu Gershom. The question that we had said before, we didn't know if it was a question about the komets being taken out of the kli, or was it the mincha being placed into the kli. You can see here that Rova concludes about both of them, that the kli sharet and the karka works, both for being mikadesh the mincha, as well as removing the komets from it. By Rova, the question that he does have is, kiddush komets mai? When you mikadesh the komets afterwards into a new kli sharet, what's the din? So here is why you can't learn from the lechem apanim, because the lechem apanim doesn't have that stage. When you take the bazichim off of the shulchan, that's the equivalent of taking the kmitza off, but then by the shulchan, it doesn't have a next stage, which is placing them into a kli sharet. They're already in a kli sharet, which are the bazichim. You then take them directly to the mizbeach and put them on the mizbeach in order to be makriv them. So now, by the mincha, where we don't have that equivalent stage of putting the komets into a kli sharet, I can't learn it from lechem apanim. Where should I learn it from? My, mi mincha yofinan la? Do I learn it out of the mincha, the kiddush mincha? Or should I learn it out of the dam? If I learn it from the mincha, we just said the mincha can be mikudash in a kli sharet on the karka. So too the komets can be placed into a kli sharet in the karka. Or do I learn it out from dam, whereby dam requires that the kli sharet be held by the kohen when you do the kabbalat dam? Hadar pashto, after he asked the question, he concluded, midam yofinan la, that we learn it out of dam. Now, what changed Rava's mind from the question to the answer? The Baal Tosfot say, midam yofinan la, the Kiddush Komets connected Kabbalat Adam. That's because of this parallel, and Rashi over here notes the same parallel, which is what we noted in the introduction to Masechta, that the four Avodot of the Mincha parallel the Avodot of the Mizbeach, and so since Netinat the Komets into Kli Sharet is equivalent to Kabbalat Adam, just like Kabbalat Adam requires Kli Sharet to be held by a Kohen, so too the Kli Sharet that the Komets is being placed into must be held by a Kohen in order for it to work. Umiyamar Rava Hachi. Did Rava really say that? Vayitmar. Don't we have a machloket amuraim between Rava and his Rebbe Rav Nachman? Komets shechilku b'shnei kelim. If you have a komets, then instead of being mikadeshit into a single kli, you place it into two kelim. Rav Nachman amar ino kadosh. Rav Nachman says it's not successful at creating kiddush. Rava amar kadosh. Rava says it is kadosh. Vimita. If it is true that Rava learns komets from dam, leilif mi dam. Learn from dam. And just like by dam, you can't place it into two kelim, we're going to see that in a second, so too the komets shouldn't be able to be placed into two kelim. It says, Hadabe Rava Mahahi. Rava reversed his position over here. Rashi says over here that he reversed his position because he compares it to dam. The Baal Tosafot say he reverses his position because he agreed then to his Rebbe's position. He backed away from disagreeing with his Rebbe. Now the Gemara wants to know, V'dami nolan delo kiddush l'chatzayin. Now you're telling me that that's true by dam, and that would set a precedent for the mincha, that dam would not be successful being mikudash if you put it into two kelim. The Tani Rav Tachlifa ben Shaul, kidesh pachot mikdei haza'a. This is not speaking about dam, this is speaking about the para aduma, and being mikadesh, the mechatat, the waters together with the ashes. If you put them in pachot mikdei zeh, upachot mikdei haza'a mikdei zeh, if you put in less than the amount that would be sufficient to dip the bulrushes into and then sprinkle with them, so you put less than a full amount into one kli, less than a full amount into another kli, lo kidesh, you're not successful being mikadeshit, and even if you recombine them later, it's not going to work. You need to get into the kli a sufficient amount that it will be enough to do haza'ah, which is that the kiddush has to produce a sufficient amount to be that it could do haza'ah from there. Vibailu. And then they asked about that statement, b'dam mai. What's the story with dam? Rashi over here says, b'dam mai is a reference to the parim nisrafim, nisrim nisrafim, all the korbanot that are chatot apnimiot, that require multiple hazaot from the dam, that are me'akev each other. What's the din there? Hilchatahi, is it halacha l'moshi misinai by the para aduma? And a halacha mishnah misinai means exactly that. It's a unique din that cannot be extrapolated from, cannot have logical arguments that dictate. Or maybe the reason by the paraduma is that you have to dip it into the waters, that the waters are there sufficient to dip into. And taval b'mayim tells you you must have sufficient waters up front that a tefillah will work in there. Hachanami, so to over here, k'tiv b'taval b'dam. Over here it also says that you dip it into the dam. So taval b'dam would mean that you have to have sufficient dam to do the hazot from. V'itmar. And we have on that, Amrav Zvika, Amrav Elazar, Af Badam Lo Kidesh. The answer is that by the dam it doesn't work. So Amar Rava, Tanya Nami Ochi. And Rava says we have a Braita that is supportive of that conclusion, which is Vitaval. This is a Braita that we saw together in Zvachim, where it says Vitaval Velo Maspig, that when you dip it in, you have to dip it in and not rub it or absorb it or sponge it, meaning that you have to dip your finger into the dam. You can't wipe it on the side of the clay or pick up the dam some other way. Badam, she badam shi'ur tvila mi'ikaro. That the dam that's in this utensil has to be sufficient to do the hazot from the outset. Min adam should be inyan. From the dam that is relevant over here. We'll see in 1 second what that means. V'itzrich l'michta v'taval, v'itzrich l'michta badam. You need both of these terms. Dikad avrachmana v'taval, if you only had the verb v'taval, hava amina afagav to lo kibel shi'ur tvila. That even if he didn't have sufficient amount of dam in there in the first place, as long as you dip it into the dam, in the end, when there's enough dam there, that's fine. You just don't have to initially have enough dam. Each time you'll get enough dam, or you'll find the dam that you need to do the hazah. So that would be your thought. Katav Rachman Adam. That's why the Torah wrote Badam, to tell you need sufficient upfront dam to do all the hazot. Katav Rachman Badam, Avamino Afilu Masbik. You might have to have enough dam in there originally, but maybe you could do it even without tefillah. You could do it by just rubbing it on the side of the clay or picking it up from the walls of the clay. Katav Rachman Avitaval. That you have to dip it in order to do the hazaa. Min Adam Shibi Inyan Limutemai. What's that last limut that comes to tell you min Adam Inyan? Amarav Limute Shiraim Shibi Etzpa. To tell you that each hazaa requires tefillah dam, or each matan dam requires a tvila. You can't just sprinkle once and then have more dam on your finger, sprinkle again. You need to dip. Each time you want to do azah, you got to dip a new dipping. So Gemara says, V'sayile l'Rabbi Elazar, da'amar, shiraim shebe'etzba psulim. This is supportive of Rabbi Elazar's view that after you do the azah with the dam, that which is left in your finger is pasul. You can't use it for azah anymore. So Amalei Ravin bar Rav Adel Rova. Amrei Talmidecha, this is what I hear from your Talmidim, Amar Rav Amram, that Rav Amram brings, Tanya, a Braita, Haya, Mazeh, V'nitzaz Am Yado. If he was doing Azot, and the Azah flew out of his hand, Imach Lohiza Ta'un Kibus. If it's before he did Azah, then the Dam is from a Dam Chatat, and as we learned in Zvachim, Dam Chatat that gets on a beged requires Kibus. Mishi Hiza, once Azah is already done, Ain't Ta'un Kibus. You no longer need to launder the beged because it's not dam that's ra'uy to be the chatat. My love, what does it mean? Before or after the hazah? Ad shelo gamar hazato, umisha gamar hazato. If he's already completed all the hazahot, that's when it no longer needs laundering. If he's still doing the hazahot, then it would require laundering. That would imply that even after you've done a sprinkling, that the dam on your finger is still problematic because it's ra'uy to go on the mizbech. Because only once you completed all 7 hazaot that it's no longer the cause for laundering the beged. So that would indicate that that which is left on the etzpa is good for hazah. It's not after he finishes all 7 hazaot. It means before he's done the hazah from the blood that's on his finger, that blood will cause you to have to do kibbutz beged if it splashes on you. Once you've already done that hazah, and that which is left on the finger now sprinkles or sprays onto a beged, ain't taun kibbutz because that's pasul to be put on the mizbeach or to do the hazaot, and therefore it's not dam of chatat that requires kibbutz. And again, that would not upend what we just said before, that the hazaot, once they're done, the shiraim are psulim. Eight ve'abayi. So Abayi challenged him. He says, gamram hazaot, when he finishes doing the hazaot with regards to the para duma, that is being processed on Har Mishkan Har Zeitim, Mikaineach Yado Begufa Shel Para. He then wipes his hand off on the goof of the Para. Gamar, only once he's finished all the hazot in, that's he does it. Lo Gamar, before that point, he doesn't have to do it. Implying again that each of the hazot beforehand, it's not a necessity to wipe the blood off, because the blood must be kasher to do hazot, and then you can keep using the blood on the finger. You don't have to wipe your finger between each hazah. Amalei, he says, no. Gamar mekaneach yado. At the end of the processing, he wipes his entire hand on the paraduma. Lo Gamar, before that point of time, mekaneach etzba'o. He wipes his finger on the paraduma. Gamar says, Bishlama Gamar mekaneach yado b'gufa shel para. When he finishes the whole process, I understand why he has to wipe his hand on the para. Dichtei v'saraf et ha-para le'enav. You have to burn the para. And the end of the pasuk is ve'et dama, that you also have to put the blood. So anything that's residual on your hand, you wipe onto the para, because that'd be nisraf. Elo lo gamar mekaneach be'etzba'o. But why before the point of reaching the gamar b'may mekaneach? What are you going to do the kinuach with? So at the end, you do it on the para, and then you burn the para, because that's where the dam needs to end up. But now, in between, you're telling me you have to wipe your finger off. Where do you wipe your finger in the interim? Rashi over here notes, Kol yado bepara, sheri para lefanav nisrefet, acharat sheyored min ahar. The para is burnt. After he comes off har zeitim, he burns it with the para, and therefore, at the end of the process, he can go and wipe his hand on the para. Whereas b'may mekaneach, which is when he's up on har zeitim, between each time he does hazah, he's going to walk all the way down, wipe it on the para, and come back up. That doesn't make sense. That's not something that is reasonable to ask of the kohen. So therefore, you can't say that he's wiping on the paraduma. What is he wiping it on? The Baalei Tosafot don't love that explanation of Rashi because they believe that the sreifa happened in the same place that the shechita happened. So that can't be the deficit. But in the Gemara's Vachim, Rashi actually gives a different answer, which would then be possible to explain it even if the shechita and sreifa were done in the same location. So the Baalei Tosafot do defend Rashi's position here and say that even though it sounds like the shechita and sreifa happened in the same place, maybe there's a possibility that you could separate or segregate between them. They just both have to be connected petach ol moed. They don't necessarily have to be in the exact same location. Rashi in Masechet Zvachim says the problem is not the fact that he has to go down each time, but the fact that when he wipes it on the para, nimim, hairs are going to get onto his finger. And then that'll become a chatzitza for the next taza'ah that he has to do. And so that's the problem. We're afraid that it's going to get things on his fingers or dirty his fingers when he wipes it on the para. So that can't be the way to do it. So b'may mekaneach, the answer is, Amrabai b'sfat mizrach. You do it on the edge of the kli sharet that has the dam on it. Kidichtiv, as it says in Ezra, kapurei zahav. That's why they're called kapurei zahav, because you wipe the finger. Kapara means to wipe away. It means to clean, or cleanse oneself, or release oneself of, and therefore here, kapurei zahav also means to remove the blood from the finger inside of this kli sharet. And if you look in the Shita Mekubetzet Ot Tedvav, he brings an alternate girsa over here, which was that not that the Gemara was asking b'may mekaneach etzba'o, but rather the girsa was b'may mekaneach bifnim. That if this is what you do when you're out by the paraduma and you wipe your hand on the paraduma, which is understandable because the dam needs to be burnt along with the paraduma, what do you do with the dam that's on the finger inside when you're doing the hazot? And the answer to that question is b'sfat ha-mizrach, on the edge of the utensils that are used inside. And he notes over here that that would help explain the Rambam's psak, who paskins that you do have to wipe your finger on the paraduma in between each of the hazaot. How could he say that when the Gemara over here indicates otherwise? But if you have the girsah of the Shita Mekubetz that he found in the older Sfarim, then the Rambam's psak actually makes sense because the Gemara never asked about the wiping of the finger. It was asking about the wiping of the finger, about the hazaot bifnim that are done inside the Mikdash, not about the finger that's associated with the paraduma. All right, so then in that way, you now solve the problem, which is that even though here it says at the Gemar, you do mekaneach yado, which implies before that point you didn't have to wipe it. My answer is no, you have to wipe your hand at the end, but your finger in between. And in between, we explain where you wipe your finger in order for it either not to be too difficult or not reasonable for you to go down each time to put wipe your finger, or because you'll get a chatzitza, you'll get hairs on your finger. So the answer is that you do it on the kli. But by saying that now, we indicate that each time you have to wipe it off, because the hazah that you do, the residual dam on the finger is no good. And then it's not a question on Rava, who says that, and Rabbi Elazar, who say that every time you sprinkle, the dam that's left over there is no longer good for hazah. Okay, we're going to stop here. Three lines from the bottom of Zayin Amud Bet.